This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Fallout continues after President Trump's recent photo op with a Bible outside of a church near the White House amid protests because of George Floyd's death. Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley says he regrets taking part in that. He says in a pre-recorded video commencement address to the National Defense University that he should never have been there.
My presence in that moment and in that environment created a perception of the military involved in domestic politics. It was a mistake.
Police used pepper spray and rubber bullets to clear protesters out of the way before the president and his entourage walked to the church. The Republican National Convention is reportedly going to be held largely in Jacksonville, Florida. Reports are that's the decision after the North Carolina governor refused to say that there wouldn't be restrictions on the event if it was held as planned in Charlotte. And this is USA Radio News.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
The White House is playing down concerns about coronavirus spikes in over a dozen states since Memorial Day. During a briefing yesterday, Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany said there are no plans to call for a slowing of state reopenings. U.S. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer is blocking a resolution against defunding police departments. The Republican resolution calls for justice for George Floyd, but also puts the Senate on record as being against defunding police departments. Schumer says the resolution is just rhetoric and that Americans want to, quote, see real action in response to George Floyd's death. Another police reality show is being pulled off the air. A&E has canceled Live PD a day after Cops got pulled. The network says there's no path forward for the hit shows the way it is now amid all the protests about police brutality. And this is USA Radio News.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
There may be a break in a missing persons case involving a well-known apocalyptic author. Here's more from USA Radio's Wendy King.
Prosecutors and family members identified human remains found at an Idaho home where a man was arrested on Tuesday as two children who've been missing since September. The remains of Tylee Ryan, 17, and Joshua J.J. Vallow, 7, were identified after investigators with warrants searched the Rexburg, Idaho property of their stepfather, apocalyptic doomsday author Chad Daybell. Daybell was charged and is being held on $1 million bail with two counts of felony destruction and concealment of evidence. Daybell's wife, the children's mother, Lori Vallow, has been held on a $1 million bail since her arrest in March. She was charged with child abandonment and obstruction of justice.
The internet is buzzing about photos of a massive beehive in Tennessee. Crews had to remove around 40,000 bees from the hive in the historic home, and the hive is believed to have been there for over 50 years. Crews used a heat map to spot the bees, and at first thought that they'd be removing only 8 feet of comb, but it turns out it was a 30-foot comb. All of the bees, including the queen, were safely taken to a local farm. You can find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Recover Now is a national campaign aimed at the education and awareness of the devastating effects of opioid and heroin abuse and curbing drug and alcohol addiction in the United States. Recover Now is sponsored by treatment facilities nationwide. Many of them have been where you are, and they want to help by spreading a message of hope and recovery. They're working hand in hand with major insurance companies nationwide that can help you or a loved one get clean in 7 to 30 days. Recover Now is embarking on a national outreach campaign on TV and radio to promote anti-addiction messages. So if you, a loved one, or someone you know has a problem with drugs or alcohol, do not wait. A new life for you could be 30 days away. Call us right now. I promise this call can change your life. Sponsored by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
800-493-4620. 800-493-4620. That's 800-493-4620.
And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us, sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, don't forget you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. With us right now is the speaker, author, and media host, Robert Hodgkin, who's had his world turned upside down in November of 2002 while splitting wood in the mountains of Montana. He was radically saved and forever changed by the first of many encounters with the love of Jesus. Well, I'll tell you, that's, you know, when you have experiences that are that dramatic, Robert, you can't help but tell that story because you really are like the blind man who can now see, you know?
Yeah, I tell you what, I had spent most of my life being a mocker and persecutor of Christians in the church, wanted nothing to do with it. And one day Jesus showed up and declared his love for me. He said, I refuse not to love you. And all that doubt, all that anger, all that other stuff, it just fell away in that kind of atmosphere of complete love and total acceptance. So you're not wrong when you say I was radically changed that day. That is so true.
So, you know, tell us a little bit more about that story. You know, what happened that so radically changed your life? I mean, you know, for those of us who have had an encounter with Jesus, you know, radical just seems like probably the best word that we can come up with, because that's the current one in the lexicon. But it's much more dramatic than that, and it seems that that was the case for you. What led up to this incredible event of November of 2002?
Well, I mean, as I said, for most of my life, I was 38 and a half years old. I had worked in the creative end of big budget advertising for most of my adult life. I had semi-retired in my early 30s and was living in Montana and doing some freelancing, but mostly, you know, fly fishing and cross-country skiing and kayaking and things like that. Wow. I had had enough success in my life, and the way I had been raised is I was raised to believe that if I had success and I had finances, then I had everything I need. And but yet there was always this hole in my heart. So for most of my life, I was searching, because the truth is, the world didn't know it, but I did. I was an angry, angry man. I was an angry young man. I was angry because, you know, I'd never found anything that really seemed concrete, and I'd searched everywhere. I had been not searching in Christianity. I'd been searching in the human potential movement, New Age, hallucinogenic drugs, you name it. I had fairly trippy experiences through all of that, but there was still, I was going through a challenging time as an adult living in Montana, because I had everything I'd been raised and everything the world told me I needed for happiness, and yet there was still this emptiness inside me, and nothing seemed to be there to heal the anger, to heal the bitterness. And then one day when I was splitting wood, I lived in a cabin in the woods in Montana. I had a wood stove. I heated my wood. So I spent a lot of time splitting wood. Mm-hmm. And I was going through some challenges, and I was taking it out on the wood pile. And the long story made short is I basically ended up exhausting myself splitting wood, fell back into a snowbank, sitting there, and the presence of God manifested, and the Lord spoke right to my heart, and he declared, I refuse not to love you. And for the first time in my life, Bill, everything faded away. I felt completely loved, completely accepted. I didn't feel like there were any more performance hoops I had to jump through. All the experiences I'd had in the New Age, human potential movement, hallucinogenic drugs, all of them faded into the background. Nothing seemed as real, as vivid, or as true as Jesus and his love and his acceptance for me.
Robert, for you, the good news is you were asking questions. You were searching, and God honored that search. Though, you know, some people might say, well, you're looking for God and hallucinogenic drugs?
Right.
Well,
right.
You know, God knows our heart. And however way you were searching for him, I mean, it's like I told people, you know, people would come to me and say, hey, when are you going to read the Bible? I go, yeah, because I was like you. I was on a search. I mean, I was a devout Catholic. I was raised Catholic. And then when a lot of changes happened in the Catholic Church, it really turned my world upside down. And I said, okay, I'm on a mission. I got to go find God. So I went looking everywhere, Scientology, Buddhism, you name it. I checked it out. And, of course, all the world of, positive thinking. And, everything else. And people would ask me, say, well, when are you going to study the Bible? I said, well, I'm into the Zen of motorcycle maintenance right now. You may or may not remember that one. But,
totally.
You know,
I've read that too.
Right. So I go through all that search. And for me, being a Catholic, what turned me around was probably the same book that really got a hold of Martin Luther. And you got to remember, or at least keep in mind that the way I was raised as a Catholic, Martin Luther was this Protestant. I mean, he was this evil individual. And then, of course, I find out later on that he was this devout monk, guilty of pursuing God and wanting to understand God. And he was chastised for that. Of course, he came against the church because the church at the time was being rather hypocritical, and they were in conflict with godly purposes. So, at the end of it, I said, where's Martin Luther? I'll meet him at the Wittenberg door. I'm going to hold the nail for him, and as he posts his 95 theses. And, so that's the way it came about. But you go through that journey, and God honors that search, all to say. And he honored your search. What were you so angry about, Robert, at that point? You remember?
It was lifelong anger. It was, I grew up feeling like I wasn't the son my father wanted. And my father and I are now, God's completely redeemed our relationship. Uh-huh. We're actually quite close. We're good friends. But like a lot of guys who grew up in the 70s, there was all these mandates placed upon me. I grew up in a sort of upper middle class, lower upper class family, a lot of pressure to perform, very specific things you had to want to be, you had to achieve that. I wasn't that good at sports. I grew up in an area and an era when you were supposed to be good at sports. I was kind of a weird kid. I liked to climb trees and pretend I was Tarzan. I was a deep feeler in a time when guys were supposed to be kind of tough, and I wasn't. So really, it wasn't anything anyone did. I can look back now and just realize it was the lies and torments of the enemy all along the way.
Yeah,
but most of my life, I didn't feel like I measured up and I fit in. And no matter what I achieved, no matter how well I did at school, no matter how well I did in my career, no matter how much money I made, no matter what car I drove, I worked in advertising, so dating models was supposed to make me happy, and it didn't. So there was really just, I don't want to point fingers at anybody or anyone. It was just the lies and torment of the enemy that we all deal with, because he's mean.
Right.
But until we know the love and acceptance of Jesus Christ, those lies get in. Because, I'll even say this. When I was searching, I did go to a few church services, and I didn't find anything in the church, but that wasn't the failing of the church. That was me not being willing to open up to what the church was saying, because here's why I was drawn to the New Age and human potential and neuro-linguistic programming and all of that, because the lie of all that is you can become a better God of your own life. Mm-hmm. So I studied the Tao. I studied Eastern mysticism because I didn't want to let go, because everything and everyone had failed me, or I had failed allowing them to help me. So I didn't trust anyone until Jesus showed up, didn't care. All the things I'd sent against him, I'd sent against his church, he didn't care. All he wanted me to know is that he completely loved me and accepted me and adored me. And in that moment, I still feel it, you know, 17 years later. In that moment, I felt for the first time in my life, I'm loved, I'm accepted, I don't have to jump through any hoops, and there's someone who I can actually count on. One of the first things he ever spoke to me after I said yes to him was...
I'll tell you what, we're going to hold our audience to that, because we got to go to break. We've got more from Robert after this. Stay with us.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. Here's what our customers had to say.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
If you're testing your blood sugar four or more times per day, injecting insulin three or more times per day, or using an insulin pump, a CGM can help you. It's accurate, easy to use, and if you have Medicare, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Plus, get free shipping of your new CGM, and we can bill Medicare for you.
Honestly, I had my doubts, but that new CGM is painless.
Call now. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. 800-471-7065. That's 800-471-7065.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. What more could you want? Bill Martinez live. Turn it up.
Back with the America Freshman in independent, just the way you like to hear from us. I'm Bill Martinez, and our guest, Robert Hodgkin, continues with the speaker, author, and media host, author of the book, 31 Decrees of Blessing for Men. And we're going to get into more detail of that in just a moment, but I want Robert to finish his story. Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, what I was saying was one of the first things the Lord ever spoke to me after I accepted into my heart as my Lord and Savior is he said, your relationship with me will be different from every relationship you've ever had. And I didn't really know what that meant at first. Years later, I actually asked him a question, Bill, because when he came to me, when he appeared to me and shared his heart with me, he said this, I refuse not to love you. And I had been in full-time ministry for several years. I was going through some health challenges. And one of the things I asked the Lord was, Lord, when you showed up, why did you say, I refuse not to love you? When you have me minister to your loved people, you usually have me declare Jesus loves you. But you didn't show up and say, I love you. You showed up and said, I refuse not to love you. Why did you phrase it that way? And immediately he replied to my heart, and he said, because you had people say, I love you, again and again and again in your life, and your experience was they loved you until they didn't. I wanted you to know, I refuse not to love you. I am love. I can't not love you. And, Bill, that took me to a whole nother level of being rooted and grounded in his love and in the certainty of sonship and in the whole idea of covenant as opposed to contract.
Exactly.
And that
exactly.
I could rely on him no matter what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you think about this, you know, how many people, Robert, have bought into that lie that is formed by the culture that doesn't know God. They think they know God, but they don't know God. They don't know God like this. They don't know the difference between a covenant and a contractual relationship, one that is unconditional, especially when by experience we seem to have found ourselves in relationships that, you know, I'll love you as long as you're performing for me. It's kind of like your experience that during this period of time, it wasn't like you didn't go to church. You went to church maybe hoping that you would find the answer. And what's really difficult sometimes is people look to find the answer when they are the answer. And they are the answer to somebody else that happens to be in the pew next to them, maybe nearby.
Yeah.
They're that missing puzzle piece. But what happens is we go with the wrong motivation. We go in and are seeking what the pastor or what the, you know, the music ministry team has for us. You know, all that is so surfacey. But if we go in with an expectation of, God, I'm being drawn here, what is it? What is that appropriate word? What is that aptly spoken word that you have given me to share with somebody that I don't know, that could end up being the best friend I've ever known, that, oh my goodness, they have that aptly spoken word that has been that hole in my heart that I've been carrying around for all these years, and here's that missing puzzle piece. This is all part of why God says that we, you know, we're to love God and to love one another, because we miss out in both cases. Vertically, we miss out on the wisdom of God, and horizontally, we missed out on, you know, that aptly spoken word that that person sitting in the pew that, you know, we don't necessarily, we look at them, maybe we prejudge them, we kind of, you know, thinking, hey, why are they in our space? You know, whatever reason.
Right.
But all that stops, you know, God's intent and God's blessing for us. Hey, we could go on and on. I can tell. I may have to come up to Montana. I'll go chop some wood with you or something. You know, just to.
Well, I'm in Arizona now, and you're.
Oh, you're in Arizona.
Anytime, Bill.
And you got wood, and there's wood in Arizona. I mean, lots of sand out there too. But are you playing golf these days? Are you healed enough to play golf?
I'm not a golfer. Everybody keeps trying to get me.
Oh, that's right. Because you told me you were an athlete. But you'd be surprised. Golf isn't necessarily for the athlete. It is for somebody who wants to exercise some discipline. That's why I tell people sometimes, you know, they go, why do women hit the ball? Because they don't, you know, they don't muscle it up. You know, they're not, you know.
Yeah.
But we, you know, guys, we want to muscle stuff up, and, you know, that's counter how golf works. But anyway, that's another story. But hey, look, I love Arizona anyway, so we'll have to find a reason. Tell me.
Welcome anytime.
Okay. 31 Decrees of Blessing. Why this book?
Well, you know, it's 31 Decrees of Blessing for Men, and the reason for this book is God put it on my heart a couple years ago that he wanted to initiate a new move amongst men around the world, and we need it. You know, culture has been lying to us about men for quite some time, whether it's sitcoms telling us that dads are unnecessary buffoons in the butt of every joke, or it's culture trying to tell us now that masculinity is toxic. Mm-hmm. Culture is not... Since day six, when God created us in his image, he made us male and female. And so that means since day six, women and men have been part of God's solution in the earth. And so with all the lies in culture about men and masculinity, I thought it was really important that a book goes out to remind men of who they really are and what they've been blessed with to be solutions and to make a difference in their spheres of influence. Because men are necessary, men are part of the solution, and it doesn't mean men haven't made mistakes, but it means that men, let me put it this way, whenever I hear people talk about toxic masculinity, I always say, masculinity is not toxic. That's incorrect. That doesn't mean men haven't made mistakes, but masculinity is not toxic. Fallen nature is toxic.
Exactly.
We have to clean up our fallen nature. If we've made mistakes, we need to make up for them. We need to make them right. But we can't dismiss masculinity because some men have dismissed women. Repeating the same mistake in a different direction is never the solution. And right now, culture is trying to solve the problem of women having been marginalized by marginalizing men. That is not a kingdom solution. The kingdom solution is to respect, honor, and champion the nature and character of God in women and in men. And 31 Decrees of Blessing for Men is a daily devotional that every day reminds men of the certainty of their sonship, how they're made in God's image, and how they've been blessed to be difference makers and solution bringers by God in every sphere of influence they're called to.
Wow, what a blessing. This is awesome. Blessing men, which will ultimately bless women as well, no doubt. What you touch on in terms of this paradigm shift that is so necessary is that we all have to get on the same page and speak the same language. We have to speak a language of wholeness and holiness that only comes from God. When you have a culture that continues to reject God and turn its back on God, we're going to have more of this toxicity, whether you want to call it masculinity toxicity, femininity toxicity. It just goes on down the line because it invades the culture and makes it impure. It infects us.
Yeah, and you said it before when you mentioned Jesus' new commandment to us, love God and love others as we're loved. The reason that he starts with loving God is because as we love God, as we focus on God, we're not only reminded who God is, we're reminded who we are because we're made in his image. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, we're focusing on the positive. We're being reminded of who we truly are, the lies of culture, the lies of the enemy, the lies of our past. I've made mistakes. As I said, I was a bitter, angry man. I mistreated people throughout all my life. But once I came to know the Lord, he helped me also come to know who I truly am. Mm-hmm. So I'm no longer guilty and ashamed about my past. I'm excited about how I can be a solution now and in the future because of who I am in Christ and all that he's blessed me with to be a blessing. I mean, what you said was so true, Bill. When we love God, now we have the ability, because we're not only reminded who we are or who he is, we're reminded who we are in him, with him, and for him. Now we have the ability to love those around us and
exactly.
Be a solution and a difference maker in their lives.
This book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com, available in all the usual places. And Robert, how can they be in touch with you?
My website, RobertHodgkin.com, is a great way to get a hold of me. My public Facebook page, at Official Robert Hodgkin. And then for all the guys out there, please feel free to join our Men on the Front Lines Facebook group community, where we're there for each other, cheering each other on, sharing what's going on in our lives, and reminding each other who we truly are in Christ.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, and this is our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever. And now your direct lender, Network Capital Funding, is offering mortgage rates at historic lows. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible! Plus, there's no lender origination fees or discount points. This is the best it's ever been. And now you have Network Capital Funding on your side, saving you money and time with their uniquely fast, simple, and secure process. These are our best rates ever, so call now to save. See for yourself. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.875 with a 2.89% APR. Incredible. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding. 800-500, the number one, HIT. That's 800-500-1-HIT. As in home run. It's a grand slam to your best savings ever on your new mortgage or refi. That's 800-500-1-HIT or 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law. Number 603-D77. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Fallout continues after President Trump's recent photo op with a Bible outside of a church near the White House amid protests because of George Floyd's death. Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley says he regrets taking part in that. He says in a pre-recorded video commencement address to the National Defense University that he should never have been there.
My presence in that moment and in that environment created a perception of the military involved in domestic politics. It was a mistake.
Police used pepper spray and rubber bullets to clear protesters out of the way before the president and his entourage walked to the church. The Republican National Convention is reportedly going to be held largely in Jacksonville, Florida. Reports are that's the decision after the North Carolina governor refused to say that there wouldn't be restrictions on the event if it was held as planned in Charlotte. And this is USA Radio News.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you, and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Back with the America. Bill Martinez here, and Lou Euler right there, founder, president of the National Tax Limitation Committee, one of the nation's leading grassroots taxpayer lobbies. Lou, America is getting back to work and feeling good about itself in spite of dealing with essentially what has turned into two pandemics, not only COVID-19, but what we've been dealing with in terms of, local looting and rioting and, property destruction. And, in some of these cities, they're realizing just how devastating the results of these riots has been on their local communities. I mean, they're trying to, talk to these big companies, to, not throw the baby out with the bathwater, to hang in there. But, when you riot and loot and do the damage to these companies, they feel unwelcomed. And, in some cities, as we've known experientially where this has happened, it's taken decades to recover from, this kind of damage.
Absolutely. And so many of the damaged businesses are personally owned, are small businesses who have not the wealth to recover as some of the large companies can. And, it underscores the fact that this effort to reduce the police and their power and their authority and their reach is just absurd, mm-hmm. because the people are being badly hurt by the absence of effective police force enforcement are the very people at the low end of the economic strata. Mm-hmm. And so they're hurt more than anyone else. It's just absurd.
Yeah, Lou, but I'm not, you know, when I look at it, I'm not hearing, you know, the poor people of America complaining so much. I mean, it is a spirited group, and this is why we caution, and we caution all parties to, you know, let's take a measured approach here. You know, going into the hysterical realm of saying, let's defund the police, let's get rid of police. I mean, look at, we already saw what getting rid of police looks like, you know, in the last couple of weeks. There was incredible chaos, lawlessness, destruction, and murder that happened in the streets of America. Attacks even on, you know, the police force, you know, bricks being thrown, projectiles thrown at police officers. How do you expect them, you know, to respond to this? But, you know, it's difficult in the midst of this heightened this heightened emotion to have some sobriety. That's the real challenge, to have some sober reason here to where we enact policies that answer some real problems. I am not, you know, prepared to say that, you know, we don't have issues to deal with. I mean, certainly there are issues to deal with, but we have to look at them on all levels, macro and micro, not just in one aspect, as some for political posturing would want to promote, you know, to, you know, garner some votes and saying, you know, because right now surf's up to talk about, you know, canceling, you know, all police forces and defunding police.
Yeah.
I mean, this is realistically doesn't make sense. As many poor blacks have said, the only time I feel comfortable going home is when I know the police are around. And so what do you feel like when they're not around, right?
Yeah, it just, I mean, it is so basically absurd to think that we can live without police protection. I mean, who are protected most? The lower economic groups, among them many blacks, who rely upon a response to 9/11 calls,
right,
when somebody's breaking into their home or that sort of thing. And let me add,
yeah, last time I checked, I don't think Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton takes those calls, do they?
Yeah. And what is so important to recognize is with the May bump in job restoration across the country, unfortunately, blacks did not receive that kind of employment bump and are still awaiting the restoration of the lowest jobless rate that they've experienced in 50 years, which came last year as a result of tax reform, the Tax Reform Act of 2017, that has restored America, and that we need back up front to restore America from this pandemic stuff that we've been dealing with.
Yeah, but how do we restore their jobs when they burnt down their businesses and looted their neighborhood businesses that provided jobs for people? I mean, it's been estimated
by
economists, Lou, that for every business that was burnt down, you're talking 100 jobs, associated jobs. That's just on the, you know, right off the top. And, you know, and think about all the businesses that were destroyed and how many jobs were lost in total. And, you know, as I said, we've got hit with two pandemics in a sense, not only COVID-19, but also these riots that, you know, affected the world for this matter. I mean, this went, you know, all over the United States and overseas.
No, you're absolutely right. And, you know, what we're lacking right now in the public discourse is just civility and common sense that has been the hallmark of the American experience since the beginning of our nation, and that is having the people who are at work and people across the nation have them as the uppermost in mind as to those that we help. Mm-hmm. And that we've got to return to. And I think it's just a short order if we get our common sense back.
Exactly. Well, you know, the thing is that you've got forces that the mainstream media are not reporting on that most people do not understand. We're talking about Antifa. We're talking Black Lives Matter, who are not peaceful protesters. They do not come from the garment of Martin Luther King. Martin Luther King, when he protested, and they even, you know, like, for example, the busing situation that happened that started out, right? And they learned what they needed to do was to put pressure on the buses, and they employed some common sense and reason, just like what you're referring to. They didn't go out and destroy the buses. They just, they just made them feel the pain of losing $3,000 a month in fees that they would get from black people not participating in segregated busing. Well, as a result, yeah, enough pain was felt, and nobody died. There wasn't, you know, big riots here. There wasn't looting of buses and burning of buses. They just held their ground, and the buses withstood, because what happened is when everything got fixed, and it took them about a year to do this, the buses were there to service, you know, all people, all Americans, blacks included here. But, the lack of common sense and even, awareness of history of how, the civil rights movement and how they were so effective in peacefully protesting, but right now what happens is we got to get through all this emotion and all this devastation that's taken place. And now you've got some mayors going, hey, look, we need $50 million to heal our city that just got burnt down. Well, now America, now the taxpayer is going to be responsible for you not managing your local constituency and allowing Black Lives Matter and Antifa come in and ravage your cities, and now the rest of America gets to pay for this, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and I'm so glad you raised the issue of the early challenges, the racial challenges about the buses, because if at that time blacks or anyone had destroyed the buses, it would have been hard for blacks to move from the back of the bus to the front of the bus that didn't exist.
You have no bus.
Again, we go back to common sense, and we go back to restoring America that we know and love and that we can all work toward the same objectives, and that is that we have families we have to care for, we have to have children, and we have our friends and neighbors. That's what we must do. And, Black Lives Matter, black jobs matter.
Right.
And that's one of the key things we want to see is restoring those jobs.
He's the founder president of the National Tax Limitation Committee, Lou Euler, right here on Bill Martinez Live. Lou, real quick, how can people be in touch with you?
They can go to our website, limittaxes.org, and join the effort to educate people on the benefits of tax reform.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the health insurance hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Packages start at $39.99 a month with signed agreement. Restrictions apply. Speak to a representative for complete offer details. See Vivint.com for license details.
Homeowners, if you're looking for the best in home security and smart home technology at a price you can actually afford, we have great news. You can now get Vivint's award-winning smart home security systems starting at about a dollar a day. U.S. News and World Report has recognized Vivint as the top home security system of 2019, calling the Vivint system the best for a complete package of home security and automation, the best pro-installed home security system, and the best home security system with cameras. And right now, you can get Vivint's best home security and smart technology for about a dollar a day. Plus, get free professional installation. Protect your home and loved ones for as little as a dollar a day. Call right now for your home security consultation.
800-962-6082. 800-962-6082. That's 800-962-6082.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often, the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now. 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutraMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
We're back with you, America. Good to have you along with us. I'm Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. Our next story is just a fascinating and inspiring story at a time when we can all, hear a good, inspiring story and be encouraged. Dr. Aaron Berkowitz has written a new book, One by One by One, Making a Small Difference Amid a Billion Problems. He is the founding director of Global Health at Kaiser Permanente School of Medicine, and he's going to be telling us an invaluable and inspiring story of lessons for anyone who hopes to make a small difference in the world, billions of problems, one step at a time. Dr. Aaron Berkowitz, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill.
Well, let's rewind here and go back to the completion of your medical training. You get involved with Partners in Health. Tell us how that came about and how you were then subsequently sent to Haiti on your first journey to take on an incredible situation that involved a gentleman with the largest brain tumor you or any neurosurgeon at Harvard Medical School had ever seen.
Yes, so I was doing my medical training in Boston beginning in around the time of 2010 when there was a massive earthquake in Haiti, as many will remember, hundreds of thousands of lives lost, millions of people displaced, and Partners in Health is a Boston-based organization that had worked in Haiti for decades. And a lot of the doctors who were training me, I saw going down to Haiti to help with the earthquake relief. And that sort of planted the idea in my head that maybe someday I could get involved in that type of work as well. And when I became a neurologist, I learned that Haiti had just one neurologist for their entire population of 10 million people.
Wow.
And imagine me working in a hospital in Boston where we had 100 just within our own hospital, let alone all the other big hospitals in a big city of a population of less than a million. So when I was sent to Haiti to try to help their doctors with some of their patients facing neurologic conditions, they introduced me to this young man named Janelle, who, as you said, developed a massive brain tumor that has affected his ability to walk, his ability to talk. So here I am, a brand new doctor, hoping I could maybe help this patient, maybe make even the first big save of my career. And so I worked with others to bring Janelle to Boston for the complicated brain surgery that he needed. And without giving too much of the story away, let's just say that things don't always go quite as planned. And this book is about the twists and the turns, the triumphs, but also some of the tragedies, and then all the really confusing spaces in between when a doctor like me from one of the world's richest countries tries to help a patient like Janelle from one of the world's poorest.
Yeah, you've got culture clash going on, right?
That's right. You know, Haiti, as many people know, is the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and most of the times when it's reported in the news, it's left at that. But you know, when we think of problems like poverty or inequity or injustice, the scope is often just so overwhelming. I mean, 4 billion people in the world don't have access to basic health care, let alone things like neurosurgery and radiation therapy and chemotherapy that this patient needed. And
exactly.
You know, Haiti was really my first introduction to what it looks like for patients to be living in that type of destitute poverty, not knowing where your next meal is coming from, not knowing if you'll find clean water to drink that day. And then on top of that, the disability and suffering of a devastating neurologic disease.
Talk about being thrown in the deep end of the pool. I mean, is your first assignment Partners in Health? You know, welcome to Haiti. And you tackle this incredible problem and challenge that's very complex. It's more than just a brain tumor. I mean, you've got culture clash. You've got communication issues. But through this process, are you just holding on and maybe thinking, look at as much as I can help and learn and teach? I mean, this is a symbiotic experience here, right?
That's right. You know, when I got started, I had the same idealistic principles that I think draw many of us to medicine, whether it's doctors or nurses, physicians, assistants, nurse practitioners. We just want to help people. And yet, it's often not so simple. And when I saw this patient, you know, being an idealistic young doctor wanting to live up to the inspiring mission of Partners in Health, I said, oh, we should bring him to the United States. We can save his life. He could get the brain surgery he needs. And, you know, some senior colleague said, well, you know, that's not really cost effective, right? It'll cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to take care of this young man. Mm-hmm. That could build a whole new hospital in Haiti. And they would say, you know, it's not sustainable, right? You might be able to find maybe the funds to help this one patient, but then another patient with a brain tumor will show up. This isn't sustainable to keep bringing them to Boston. And, you know, these are cost effectiveness, sustainability. These are maybe helpful principles for policymakers. But gee, when you're faced with the patient in front of you, they really break down. And it's not a cost effective solution to your patient to build another hospital in 10 years. They just want the care they can get in that moment. So,
right, exactly.
I didn't want to just throw up my hands and say, there's bigger problems here. I can't help this young man. And so, this book is about how my colleagues and I tried to stand up for this individual and not just say injustice is a big problem we can't fix, but here's one injustice that with the small tools we have in medicine, we might be able to do something about.
And, you know, we're dealing with that, you know, that very thing today, Dr. Berkowitz. I mean, trying to, I don't know, you call it ethics, call it morality. This is a significant issue. And I love what you learned, you know, from Haiti, because they have an incredible saying that I think would translate very well here in America. And it would bode us well to embrace how the people of Haiti look upon each life, right?
That's right. You know, one of the things I enjoyed learning learning in Haiti. There was a lot to learn there medically, but also enjoyed trying to learn enough Haitian Creole to communicate there. And it's a language very rich in very profound proverbs, many of which I discuss in the book and their significance. And the one you're alluding to, tout moun se moun, yes, means every person is a person.
Right.
As you said, it's really a message for our time. You know, Partners in Health's mission statement has many inspiring phrases in it, but one that I keep coming back to in this moment is they say their work is based on solidarity rather than charity alone. And mm-hmm. I think it's a very powerful statement. Of course, when we think about charity, those of us with the privilege and power to have more should be helping those who don't have that privilege and power and have less. But charity sort of means us giving to them, you know, mm-hmm. we giving to someone else. And when we think about solidarity, that's all of us sharing with each other. That's reminding us that we're each part of the same all. And this tout moun se moun, every person is a person. If we really start from that place, then we really feel called to stand up for these injustices, because they're not injustices faced by others. They're injustices faced by us, because we're all part of that same us.
It truly unifies us, doesn't it?
It really does.
And that's what I like about this. I'm already envisioning a T-shirt here that needs to carry that bit of proverb, that Haitian proverb. That is really special. And again, I think, you know, invaluable that you're sharing this with us in one by one by one, making a small difference amid a billion problems. And, you know, you talk about, you know, policymakers and how, and I understand, I think there's a place, you know, for that kind of consideration. But, you know, when it comes between, you know, a policy and a person's life, like Janelle, you know, that's the giving part. That's the true gift that goes beyond it, that you trust that Janelle is here now, he is in front of you, and this is a problem that where we can make a small difference, and trust that down the road we can still build a hospital, and there'll be money to build a big hospital, and maybe it's in doing the little thing, like you know, redeeming the life of one Janelle with this incredible brain tumor.
I think that's exactly right, and that's certainly something I wanted to bring across in the book. You know, when we hear about problems on the scale of thousands and millions and billions, we're shocked by statistics like that, but that shock can be paralyzing. Problems just seem so mind-bogglingly large that we can't do anything about them. But when we remember that each of those billions is made up of a billion ones, there's a billion individuals just
exactly.
like us. You know, our compassion, solidarity starts to arise. And on the other side, as you said, when we remember that if each one of us did one small thing to try to address an injustice, then those ones can add up to billions, too, and we each have our part to play.
Well, that's the opportunity today, isn't it? If we get outside of ourselves, and particularly here in America, I mean, we're so bitterly divided, and I think we've about had it up to here with that, and we're looking, looking inside of ourselves, and I would encourage people to continue to do that, especially when you consider, and this is where your book goes a long way. Not only is it inspiring in hearing your story, but it causes us to think about, you know, our own lives comparatively. And as you write, you know, there's something like 4 billion people that lack access to healthcare worldwide. I mean, 4 billion. I mean, that's over half of the world's population that is without healthcare in varying degrees, like what you just cited. I mean, you come to Boston, there's plenty of neurosurgeons. Out in Haiti, you're lucky to find one, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, as you said, we're talking about problems of such a massive scale. We say half of the Earth's population. And then there are those of us in the half that have the health care, and those of us in the half that don't. And as you said, there can be this division, this us and them, and we have to really get beyond that and realize that we're all in this struggle together, and there's different ways we can each help each other and listen to each other and learn from each other. And I hope you're right that message resonates in this time of reckoning with longstanding problems like racism in our country, where we're seeing an acute reaction to an mm-hmm. immediate situation. But as we say in medicine, many acute conditions are flares of chronic diseases.
Dr. Berkowitz, thank you so much for being with us. Your book will be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com and available at all the usual places, right?
That's right. Thank you so much for having me on the show, Bill.
You know what's really smart?
Wash your hands frequently, practice social distancing, and stay home if told to do so.
You know what's really dumb?
To ignore your immune system.
Right now, more than ever, your health depends on a strong immune system.
The experts at Immunocorp will give you their 7-step guide to immunity for life, free.
Why? Because we want you to be smart and healthy.
Simply call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com.
Immunocorp has been producing the world's leading immune system products for more than 2 decades.
To get your free 7-step guide to immunity for life, call 800-446-3063. 800-446-3063.
Be smart. Don't ignore your immune system. Your life depends on it.
Call 800-446-3063 or click immunityforlife.com. Immunityforlife.com.
Maybe not today.